Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, celebrity interviews, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again before a radio audience here in Mississippi at WYAD 94.1 FM and WYADonline.com. We're glad that you all could be with us. Also, those tuning in to our online affiliates around the world, we're glad you all could be with us as well. I'm excited to welcome award-winning author Carol Lawrence to our program today. Carol is celebrating a brand-new book this month that is sure to have you burning through the pages. It's called Cleopatra's Dagger. We'll talk to Carol not only about her love of history, but also what it was like for her to be able to thrust us back in time, but to give us characters that I think are very relatable and a storyline that definitely will keep you wondering. If you guys are just now finding out about Cleopatra's Dagger, we'll let you know how to get your own copy of it and stay connected with Carol. Carol, thank you so much for the time. Really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Well, the pleasure is definitely all mine. Well, you have found such success being able to find, you know, your readers literally around the world who have enjoyed your work, Carol. What has it been like for you to be able to see the way that people are already responding to the new book?
Well, it's kind of been surreal in a way. I've never been in Amazon First Reads before, and I will confess to you, I didn't even know what it was. And my agent called me one day, and she was like, congratulations, your book is a first read. And I'm like, okay. And she said, no, really, that's really a big deal. And I was like, okay. And then she had to convince me that it was like, she said, no, you're going to get tons of reviews before it even comes out. And then I did a little research and I found out that it was, you know, it was been an honor to be chosen. And I was very, very grateful, obviously. But it's true that like within a few days we had like 1,000 reviews. I was like, whoa, this is cool. It was just seemed cray cray to me. And then because I've had series that like if you get 17 reviews in the first month, you're like, wow.
Right.
it was just like a whole new weird experience.
Well, you know, I'm so glad you brought that up because I was going to mention as well, the time that we're having this conversation, just so our audience can put it in perspective, Carol was just talking about 1,000 reviews. At the time she and I are having this conversation, she has 4,400 reviews on Amazon right now for this book. And the book right now is a number, I think it's in top five right now, a best-selling book on Amazon. In historical thrillers. And I think it goes to a couple of things here, Carol. One, the storyline is so engaging, right? Even though it's a time period a lot of us cannot relate to, maybe we think on its face, the people are people. And I think that's been a kind of a consistent theme for you as an author, that you really bring the humanness of humans to your characters. Do you think that is part of the connection that you kind of have, is that regardless of where you're setting these books, we are able to relate to these characters?
Well, I'd like to hope so. Every author loves to hear that. Sure, you're right, Cyrus. That's exactly right. I write characters you can relate to. Thank you for pointing that out. I'm not making fun of you. I'm making fun of myself and my ego and all writers' egos. You know, we love hearing that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, you can only do your best, you know, and I do enjoy writing characters, and I kind of started out as a playwright. If you call, you know, being a playwright at the age of 9 or 10, I wrote what I thought were plays at the age of 9 or 10. I'm sure they probably weren't, but
right.
You know, I think if you are not fascinated with human nature, you probably have no business being a fiction writer. You know, you could certainly do other kinds of writing, and I love reading nonfiction. I mean, I love reading nature and science, so that's my favorite kind of thing to read. But, I think if the permutations of human nature and all of its glory and degradation, you know, if the entire spectrum doesn't interest you, then maybe fiction writing isn't for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's true, but I will say to Carol, in reading Cleopatra's Dagger, one thing about the main character, Elizabeth, even outside of the time, and this is the interesting thing that makes this book, I think, so relatable in the world we live in today, is that she finds herself as an interesting place in the world, for one, because of her profession and how she is looked at, but also realizing what we're able to see as the reader is that that has nothing to do with her ability to do a job. But that's a very 2022 theme, it seems like, that a lot of times people think, oh, that's a job for this person or that person. What was that like for you to put Elizabeth in this world and to have herself be questioned, not because of her work, but because of her gender?
Right. Yeah, and there was a part of me that was afraid that it was too 2020. I'm like, oh, wait. You know, he said people back then weren't that woke, man. No way. But I, she comes along only a few years before Nellie Bly. And Nellie Bly was a real-life, you know, journalist who really just expanded the boundaries of what it was to be, not just a female journalist, but to be a journalist, you know, and getting herself committed, you know, to the asylum in Blackwell Island and all that she did. So the part of me that was worried about it not being, you know, of the period, I was able to calm down those fears and say, you know, there were women like that, and she comes in the – you know, she comes on the heels of the Civil War and the politics of the times were incredibly complex. And there was already a move to have women, you know, have the vote. And of course, there was both the anti-slavery movement, which started way before the Civil War, and of course the conservative backlash against it afterwards. So I think 1880 was a very, very key time period. And, you know, and of course you had – what interested me were the social ramifications and the disparities and the abuse of the working class and the poor people. And we think of it as being bad today. It was unbelievably bad back then. And I think that's what drives her, and I think that's what drove me when I tried to put myself inside of her, of like, you know, if I were back in that time period and I were a better person than I actually am, you know, I would like to think that maybe I might be a little bit like Elizabeth.
Right. Yeah, and I think,
I'm sorry, I'm not sure I answered your gender question, but yeah.
No, you did. You did exactly. And I think, too, that is what makes this book so great on its face, Carol, is that for us as the reader, we're able to see, just like we are able to see in life, it has nothing to do with her gender. It has to do with her ability to do the work and to be able to do her due diligence, which leads me then to Carol Lawrence, because just as Elizabeth has to do her work, she has to do the investigative piece of this, she has research to do. What was the research like for you in doing a book like this?
Wow, it gobsmacked me. It really kicked my ass. I mean, it was just, am I allowed to say that on the air?
No, you're fine.
It really, I have to say that, you know, I'd written about my previous series, which took place in 1880 in Edinburgh, and I had written a couple of Sherlock Holmes novels, so this was not my first go-around in the 19th century. And so I thought, New York, you know, I live here, I've lived here almost half my life, you know, great, no problem, you know, I had to research Edinburgh for a long time because, you know, I was only a visitor to that place. And I thought New York, you know, a piece of cake. I was so wrong. It was so deep and wide and complex and big and important. You know, I live a half a block from where Lincoln delivered the address at the Cooper Union that is widely credited for getting him the Republican nomination. You know, I mean, things like that happened all the time just within, a mile radius of where I live. There was a saloon on Second Street that hosted the writer Emma Goldberg and Ambrose Bierce. They hung out there. You know, I didn't know all this stuff, and it really deepened my interest in New York, which was already pretty intense, but it really just gave me such an appreciation. But it was way, way more complex and involved than I ever imagined it would be, quite frankly.
Wow. Well, I think that is why I think readers will enjoy the time that you took to be able to make this story really come to life. Carol, I want to say for those who are just tuning in, either on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. We're excited to welcome Carol Lawrence to our program today. We're talking with her about her brand new book that's out called Cleopatra's Dagger. It's a book that really does keep you turning the page and keeps you wanting to know where Carol is going to take us next. Did you know going into this particular book, you mentioned the other series, Carol, did you know that this one was going to be a series initially?
No, it was all, quite frankly, it was all my publisher's idea. You know, I had written 3 books of the Ian Hamilton mysteries, and I kind of thought I was going to be embarking on a 4th book, and my publisher called my agent, and they're like, well, we want to do something new. Could you do a female protagonist and, you know, make it historical? I'm like, whoa, okay. Because, you know, when Thomas and Mercer says do something, you know, if you're smart, you do it. So
right.
I was like, okay with me. Yeah, let's do that. Hey, why not? So I kind of had to scramble my brain because I'd been writing, you know, from a male perspective, which actually came fairly naturally to this old tomboy. So I decided to then put it in New York because I live here, and because I am very interested in the history of the city, but I felt I hadn't visited it quite, you know, as deeply as I might have. And I have a couple of friends who are tour guides, and so I kind of figure, you know, they had to do tons of research for their, just to be tour guides, you know. I have a friend who's Swedish, and she takes Swedish people around New York. I can only imagine, you know, like, you know, let's go to IKEA. I mean, I don't know what, you know, what Swedish people are interested in when they come to New York, but I almost forgot what your original question was.
No, you're fine. You actually got there. You actually got there for me. So let me ask you this then, in connection with that then, Carol, for yourself, as you were kind of thinking about the series, because that's what we were talking about here, I mean, what was it like for you to see, even from this book, Elizabeth's growth from beginning to end?
Well, of course, that's what you always, you know, want to accomplish. And when you're writing a series in particular, there is some worry, you know, that the character will remain static. And I was just talking to a friend of mine about that being a real problem, you know, for a television series, you know. And there's a kind of a cliche in comedy where the main characters don't grow at all. But you can't get away with that in fiction. And so, you know, I wanted her to change, but I wasn't really sure where she was going to start out and where she was going to go to. So the entire process of kind of staying around with her and being with her was very much like a little children's book called Harold and the Purple Crayon. I don't know if you know it, but feel like it's the perfect metaphor for writing, because there are these simple line drawings, and there's this little boy, Harold, and he wakes up in the night, and he draws himself adventures, and then he draws himself a monster, and once he's drawn the monster, he has to figure out how he's going to get out of it, and then he draws himself a boat to get away, and then, you know, there's a storm, and then he has to draw the solution to the storm, and I feel like as a writer, that's kind of the way a story progresses, you know, I like to plan ahead a little bit, but I feel if you plan ahead too much about where your character is going to go in terms of their character arc, you're going to find yourself with something stiff and too planned and not organic enough.
Right.
So I just kept throwing things at Elizabeth, and I actually didn't know how she was going to react. And I didn't even know, like, one day to the next what I was going to throw at her. At one day I woke up and I was like, there's not enough conflict. Oh, let's have her assaulted. And I'm like, oh, that's really dark. But, you know, I gave it a go and to see how that would, you know, affect her. And, you know, then you kind of have to place yourself in that person's shoes and, you know, see how you might feel, even if you haven't had the experience. And then, you know, where does that take you? So I think she started out with a sense of social justice. But I think the more she meets up with resistance, the more determined she is to kind of overcome that resistance.
Yeah, Exactly, exactly. And I think, again, the idea of good and evil, too, the way you play with that, I love as well. So last thing I want to ask you about here, Carol, is about the audience. We began the conversation talking about the reviews coming in, the book already an Amazon bestseller. What has that connection been like with your readers to be able to know, you know, that they are enjoying what you are so passionate about when it comes to your books?
Well, it's really lovely, and I have to say that, you know, because writing is such a solitary affair, and I kind of come from the world of theater and, you know, did a performing as a living for a number of years, you know, going back into that kind of den of, you know, solitude, my fortress of solitude of writing was interesting. And then when it's done and you get other people's reaction, you kind of see things that maybe you didn't even see when you were writing yourself. And I really appreciate readers' reactions, you know, even if they have some critical reactions to, like, well, this was problematic. I often agree with them. I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm not sure I quite pulled that one off, but, you know, thanks. And I definitely love, you know, when people, you know, they send me messages on Facebook and, you know, and they reach out. And I know that one-on-one contact, you know, is important. And it's not like I'm so famous that I don't have time to respond to them. I do.
Gotcha.
So I really do enjoy that, you know, the interaction with the readers.
Well, I know they enjoy it as well. Again, everyone, Carol Lawrence has been our guest. The new book is called Cleopatra's Dagger. It's out now. Make sure you guys get your own copy of it, either in print or the Kindle edition. You're definitely going to enjoy this one. Carol, let our audience know then how to stay connected with you.
So my website is celawrence.com, and you know, you can go on there and look for news and sign up for the newsletter. And also I have a Facebook page. CE Lawrence is the Facebook page, and my personal Facebook page is Carol Bugay, because Lawrence is actually a family name. It's actually my maternal family name, so I am a Lawrence. But that's the pen name that I use for the, you know, I use Carol Lawrence for my historical work. You know, I'm kind of all over the web. I'm on Instagram, Carol. My Instagram is Carol Bugay, and of course I'm on Twitter, CE Lawrence. I think it's at CE Lawrence on Twitter.
Right. Well, Carol, congratulations to you again. Really enjoyed speaking with you and looking forward to our next chat together.
Oh, me too. Thank you so much, Cyrus. Thank you so much for having me. It was an absolute delight talking with you.
Oh, the pleasure is definitely all mine. Appreciate that. And we thank your audience for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. Now let's go make today amazing. Take care.